Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may be. Today, we're going to have a very interesting discussion. The quote that I put on, "Life should be touched, not strangled," by Ray Bradbury. Ray Bradbury is a very famous science fiction author, and he wrote Fahrenheit 451, which was made into a movie. He wrote several other, The Martian Chronicles. He's a very interesting man. For many, many years, he refused to fly on an airplane. And he lived out in Los Angeles, and that's where he kind of wrote and worked. And I thought it was quite an interesting quote because it really accurately defines how we live in life often. Excuse me. We're often grasping life so tightly that we end up strangling the life out of it, strangling the life or the breath out of life, rather than living and breathing with it. So life should be touched, not strangled, I think is a very interesting comment. And I think it's a good one for us to remember on a daily basis. When we're feeling very stressed and we're feeling very anxious or we're in an emotional situation, we ask ourselves, are we touching life or are we strangling life? And that's a little reminder, because it's so important that we have little reminders to keep us on track. As we've discussed in many discourses, the purpose, I believe, this is of course my opinion, of Buddha Dharma is to help us understand what's real, what we are, who we are, and how we can bring everything into harmony, eventually leading to complete understanding, realization, and extinguishment of karma, if that is where we want to go. But at the very minimum, we can apply the teachings of the Buddha Dharma to help us keep it real. And asking that question all the time, what is really happening here? Which is a very, very, very important question. I recently had an experience that gave rise to inspiration for this class. And before, I apologize if I look off into the nature, it kind of inspires me. So it's not that I'm bored, it's just that it gives me, I look up and I see and I think wonderful thing. I was speaking to somebody and we were discussing a common theme. And the person couldn't let go of an issue despite the issue having been addressed and resolved. And every time I came back to that person and said, it's done, it's finished, it's resolved. No, but in the past it was like this and that didn't. I said, it's resolved. It's been discussed. No, but I experienced, and it kept on going on in circles until the point arose where I mentioned to the person, you know, it really seems to me that you just need to let go of it. And the person responded, that's easy for you to say. And I said, well, it's not easy. It's not about saying, it's about the fact that in the last 15 minutes, we've been discussing the subject, we've resolved the matter at hand, and you're still going back to wanting to talk about this subject over and over and over again. So it appears to me that you're creating your own suffering. And in fact, it's something beyond your control. You can't control the outcome. You can only control your actions. Yes, I know, but this needs to be, I said, it has been taken care of. No, but this needs, and it goes on. Have you all experienced that kind of conversation, those kind of feelings sometimes? It's very common. When that's happening, what is really happening inside us? You guys should all know this by now. What are we really doing? What's our famous word?
Clinging.
Clinging. Clinging. We're clinging. The minute we're clinging, we cannot let go. We cannot hear what people are speaking to us. What is reality? And what is reality itself? What do you think? We've talked about this, but we're again reviewing it. What do you think reality is? Anybody can pop up. How do we determine our reality?
My reality is staying in the moment.
Staying in the moment. Okay. You've expressed what your efforts are. But what does that mean? How do you determine your reality? What, well, not how do you, but what determines your reality?
Our senses, maybe.
Our senses, okay. But if we have senses, do they have to be organized? And put in some form that we can understand them?
Our thoughts,
okay. Senses, so now we have thoughts. But if we have thoughts without senses, what are our thoughts, right? Are our thoughts ever separate from our senses?
Yes.
They are. Remember, in Buddha Dharma, we speak of six senses. We speak of the five physical senses plus the mind, which is consciousness. So is it possible to have a thought without a sense?
I guess not.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Perhaps that is what the Buddha Dharma is trying to teach us, how to be present without either thoughts or senses. Or not without them, but rather free from them, allowing them to pass like clouds in the sky, or rise like bubbles in water and then hooked by the surface, let go. I would suggest that that's one way to define what Buddha Dharma is trying to teach us. It's trying to tell us that it is possible to live in a way so that our thoughts and our sense perceptions and feelings as a result of our sense perceptions are just transitory. Does that sound familiar? What we've talked about over the last few weeks? So when we cling, are they transitory? Can they be transitory? When we cling to our thoughts and feelings, can they be transitory?
Not if we're clinging.
Right, not if we're clinging, exactly. So what happens is we're holding on to something beyond the point of where it's real. Does everybody follow that? So going back to my initial discussion, we're discussing subject A. There's problem B related to subject A. Person 2 has had bad experience with subject B related to the problem B related to subject A. Person 1 has offered solutions and addressed and said, we now have solution B. The problem no longer exists for the subject, which is A. But person 2 keeps going back to the problem B with subject A. That sounds very mathematical, but that's a little bit of a logical approach. So do we see what's happening is that person 2 cannot let go. They're clinging to something that doesn't allow them to see accurately that the problem to subject a problem B for subject A has been addressed or is being addressed or has an alternative approach so that it can be addressed. Does everybody see that clearly? They're holding on to their thought process so that they can't be free of problem B. So they're imprisoned by their thoughts around problem B. Does that make sense? Does everybody understand that? Any questions? If you don't understand, please ask. Go ahead, Sam.
Trying to understand. You're clinging to the thought. Or the feeling.
Or the emotion. Actually, I would say it's the emotion.
Okay. And in order to let go of that emotion, you're saying that we have to also let go of the thought?
No. Let's go back to what we discussed before about feelings and emotions, right? Mm-hmm. Feelings are things we have after we have perception of sense, right? Okay. The feeling is there, perception of sense, but that lasts for a very short time in reality. If it's a pleasant feeling, we may want it to last longer. We all know that experience, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to extend the feeling. But that's a form of clinging. That's a form of stickiness, right? Mm-hmm. If it's an unpleasant feeling, we try to shorten the feeling, to get rid of it. But that's also a form of clinging, because we're trying to cling to not wanting to have the feeling, because we can cling to having the feeling or cling to not wanting to have the feeling. So far, so good. Mm-hmm. But if we just have the feeling and then let it pass after the experience is done, we're open to the next feeling. If we cling to the feeling and then we act on that feeling, it becomes an emotion. Energy motion. Think in those terms. Energy motion. The energy of the experience, the feeling, or the perception becomes force to make us move. No good. Because then it's not us being present and aware, it's us holding on to whatever that feeling or perception was and moving with that. Does everybody follow?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you see somebody and you get angry. You have the feeling of anger. Okay? The feeling of anger can happen. You can register it and you can let it go. Okay? And by having the feeling of anger, registering it, letting it go, you still have the option to act on the anger if you wish. Does everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to give up the acting on the anger, but you don't have to cling to the anger. If you have the anger and you get stuck to it and it becomes emotion and energy motion, you are no longer free to respond to the anger in any way that may be appropriate. You will respond to the anger based on your attachment to the emotion of anger. Does that make sense for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll welcome Tiziana and John. They just joined us, Johnny. And we're talking about clinging to feelings and emotions based on a conversation I had with somebody recently where they had problems with a certain subject, and we then discussed it, and then we addressed the problem, we solved the problem, and the person kept going back, but I still have this problem. And why did they still have this problem? Well, they were clinging to something, right, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So now the question was, before the two of you just joined, is what is reality? What is our reality? What is reality itself? And that's what I posed to you. And I'd like you to still answer that question. I'd like you to think about that. What defines our reality? When we say orange reality, what defines orange reality? And we had Senem say feeling, senses, and we had Kat say thoughts. So if we find an overall term, general term, how would we say our reality is defined? By who?
By us.
Our emotions.
Okay. Emotions, yes.
Our perception?
Our perceptions, but back, I think Tiziana hit it on the head in this case, by us, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's our thoughts or emotions, we define our reality. So it can be our thoughts, it can be our feelings, it can be our physical situation, our genes, it can be our habit patterns, conscious and unconscious.
Upbringing, social behavior.
All of that. That defines
position in society, whatever. Yeah.
So if we define our reality, how do we find a common ground with others so that we're all living in reality? Doesn't that makes it, if we define our reality, we're all unique. It makes it sound like it's impossible for us to even have the possibility to get along with others, right? Because we're going to have 7 billion people saying, this is my reality, this is my reality, and this is what I want, this is what I need, this is what I have to do. You might notice the I is in all of that. Whereas the Buddha Dharma is taking a whole different approach. The Buddha Dharma is saying there is a concept, there is this thing, reality, true, real reality. And you can become, an individual can become aware of that reality if they live in a certain way. And here is my offering, that was the Buddha's offering of how one can live based on his own experience. Not based on being right or wrong or whatever, but based on his own experience. And the key fundamental foundation to that is being able to not cling to the experiences we have. And by experiences, I mean senses, I mean feelings, I mean thoughts, and not to let them become emotions. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm sure if this goes on the website, I'll have a lot of fight back on this. In my vocabulary, in my instruction, emotions are not a wholesome thing, because an emotion is an indication that we are clinging to a feeling and not letting the feeling just be present. That clinging to the feeling generates what I call an energy motion, which is shortened to emotion. For me, emotion means energy motion. The minute I feel emotional, I feel I'm clinging to something. So I talk a lot about practical tools with you guys, right? I really go after that. And here's a practical tool. The moment you can become aware that you are becoming emotional, you know immediately that you are clinging to something. You're not in reality anymore. You're lost in your experience. And if you're lost in your experience, then the reality you're experiencing is your own personal ego-based reality and not the real reality, which is just a dynamic. The real reality is a dynamic of many forces.
So I have a question.
Sure, please.
So having a cry, I would say, being very tearful about something that you're experiencing in life. I mean, you know what I've been through, Warren, in the last, this week has been an right. emotional roller coaster.
Right.
To say the least. And so you're saying that releasing tears or anything like that is clinging?
Okay, let me present it from a different point of view. A person for 50 years has lived a life, you know, a certain kind of life, and suddenly that life is no longer valid. It doesn't work for them. So that person has to make a change. That change requires them to let go of people that have been around them, of relationships they've been involved. And they suddenly have to go out and do something new. Okay? The realization is clear. They have to do it. The act of letting go of everything around them is difficult because there are strong, strong habit patterns. Right? Is habit pattern a clinging?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
It's a kind of clinging, exactly. So because of the strong habit patterns, we find it difficult to let go. So we feel the pressure, and we feel that letting go and moving into a new life is a kind of moving into an unknown. So the emphasis is based more on, for the moment, the loss of what we know and the habits we have than of the newness and the wonderment of what's to come. And so that generates a tremendous pressure inside ourselves. And that pressure inside ourselves has to find an outlet. Now, tears and crying is a wonderful outlet for that pressure. Because usually after we have a good cry, we feel very relieved. Right? Everybody's had a good cry.
Love that.
Now, imagine what happens if you could perceive all the energy of a good cry not getting out of the system and having to find a way to affect the system. Is it going to be a positive effect? Think of how much energy when you have a good cry is there. A lot, right? Now imagine that in a closed structure. Is that going to have a positive effect on that closed structure?
Probably not.
Imagine a human body with all its functioning, all its organs, all its joints, all its hormones. By that pressure, and by that pressure in the human body, we're talking about incredible rush of cortisol and stress hormones and adrenaline and anxiety. Is that going to have a positive effect on the body? No. So the good cry is a good thing. It's not a, it is a result of the letting go of the clinging. But if a person gets into a habitual process of needing to have a cry to be able to let go, that becomes clinging. If a person gets into the process of looking forward to the cry to release the pressure, that becomes clinging. In fact, I read a quote, a very interesting quote, the other day. I was looking for the daily quote, and it said, if we expect and look forward to healing as a result of our efforts in meditation, that's a problem.
Clinging.
Because if we look forward to healing, we're clinging to this idea, I need to be healed.